And we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming in a Maine native, a filmmaker who's put together a wonderful new movie that will debut this weekend down at the Criterion in Bar Harbor, as well as at the Strand in Rockland. Joining us in studio to talk about We Were an Island is Peter Logue. Peter, thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, Rich. Happy to be here.
Man, I love the movie so much. For anybody who doesn't know, there was a great piece in the Maine Sunday Telegram this weekend telling some of the backstory on this. But it's the true story of a very interesting couple, Art and Nan Kellum. Can you give a little of the background?
Definitely, yeah. So Art and Nan Kellum were a couple who, in 1949, bought Placentia Island, which is 2 miles off the coast of Mount Desert Island, Bass Harbor specifically. They bought this 500-acre island for $10,000, pretty good deal these days, and moved out there and built a home, built a life together out there for the next 36 years, during which time they would occasionally row the 2 miles to the mainland on MDI for groceries and whatnot. But for the most part, they spent those 36 years alone on their island together.
And a relatively Spartan existence on that island as well.
Yeah, they were all about creating the space in their life to do the things they wanted to do, which were, you know, reading, writing, listening to operas, going for walks on their island, and just really being in the moment and savoring every day they had on that island together.
You'd heard stories about the Kellums for years growing up on the island. What was it about their story that drew you in?
Yeah, their story has been very well documented, of course, with Peter Blanchard's wonderful book that we adapted for this film, and also through the historical societies on MDI, specifically the Mount Desert Island Historical Society and the Tremont Historical Society, both of which played a pivotal role in finding out about the Kellums to begin with about 4 years ago. The Tremont Historical Society keeps their dory, which is the boat they use to row back and forth, right out in front of their museum. And that was, you know, a defining artifact for them that we were actually able to use in the film, which was really great. And really, I think for me, the idea I kept coming back to when reading about the Kellums and reading their journals wasn't so much about why they moved out to the island in the first place, because a lot of people can get on board with the idea of moving out to your own island. It's a very romantic ideal. The interesting thing is that how do you stay there, you know, for 36 years? How do you get through that first winter and remain committed to this vision that you had when you were in California? You know, it became a real issue for them that first winter when they didn't really have a structure. They were able to figure that out, and they were able to get through so many other obstacles, both practical obstacles and also emotional ones. And for the film, we really decided to explore the intricacies of their marriage and, you know, really celebrate the commitment they had to each other as well as the island.
And there was a little bit of tension in the film, in life, in the book as well, when there was the possibility for Art of leaving the island for a job teaching.
Yeah. So he was a skilled engineer. He worked for Lockheed Martin during World War II. And, you know, he had inquiries throughout their time on Placentia. And it was in their later years that he received a job offer from Cornell University. And, you know, it was not malicious in any way, for he didn't mean for that to be a hurtful moment. He saw an opportunity and in a lot of ways was trying to create, I think, a security blanket for them in their aging years. They had health concerns that were a real factor, you know, out there where they don't have any way of instantly communicating with anyone else. So I think that was part of the reason he applied for that job. And it was a real difficult decision, really, for both of them once they faced the reality of actually moving to the mainland. But ultimately, they decided, you know, this island was their project. This was enough for them. And that really is the question that is faced throughout the film. Like, are we enough for each other? And is this enough for us to experience in our life?
Also, a lot of speculation as to why they moved there in the first place, whether it was as simple as wanting to get away from it all, or maybe it had to do with what was going on with World War II and maybe the roles that they might have played, Art in particular.
Absolutely. Yeah, there are pretty widespread rumors about them to this day. And they used to go, you know, to Sawyer's Market in Southwest Harbor, and people would be gossiping about them. But really, the most common rumors, I would say, are that he was involved with the Manhattan Project, creating the atomic bomb, or he was some sort of a German spy or had horrible, deformities from the war. You know, people couldn't really comprehend why this couple, quote, from away, would move here to Maine and buy their own island and live this rather peculiar existence. So I think people were suspicious of them at first, and these rumors still abound today in a way. But ultimately, what's really cool is that over their time living out there and rowing back and forth, they really gained the admiration and respect of the entire coastal Maine community, the ones that they encountered, for sure. They had a lot of lobstermen friends, and people would go out and visit them and have picnics with them. And people were interested and ultimately learned that they weren't this strange hermitic couple. They actually just wanted to live this life of their own design.
We're talking with Peter Logue about his wonderful new film, We Were an Island. You can see it this weekend, Saturday at the Criterion in Bar Harbor, Sunday down in Rockland at the Strand. So you got the idea to make the film. Your background has been in the world of documentaries, but this has always been part of your plan.
Absolutely, yeah. This film felt like a natural step into narrative filmmaking for me, which essentially just means, you know, a script and actors and a crew and calling action and cut, whereas with documentaries, you're documenting real life and crafting a story out of that. And so I've always loved documentary, and I'm going to continue making them, but for this project, for one thing, they're not alive anymore. So, and I knew that this sort of intimate, small story, which is really the sort of film that I'm interested in viewing and making, human-driven stories that explore really the intricacies of the human heart and the relationships that we have, this felt like a natural story to tell in this fashion. I began the process of working with Peter Blanchard on doing research about his book. He spent years going through Art and Nan's journals, which were an incredible resource for us because they would journal just about every single day out there. And that was a real insight into their mind and to what their reality of their life was like. And working with Peter on thinking about their story and specific terms. And then I met John Sood, who's an amazing writer who has ties to MDI, and we immediately connected over this story. It turns out he had gone out to Placentia as a kid, and it had left this lasting impact on him as well. So we hit it off, and then John and I spent approximately two to three years working together on the screenplay. He wrote the screenplay. We spent a lot of time talking about the moments from their journals and from Peter's book that we thought would lend themselves well to the film and then ultimately during that time we were casting and fundraising and meeting crew members, and then it all came together last year for six crazy days.
And just about a year ago, let's take a moment and talk about the cast, because that was the first thing that caught my eye when I saw, I think your dad had posted about the film, and I've known him of course for years, and when I saw the first name that caught me was Loudon Wainwright III. I've been a fan of his acting and his music for years and years and years. But my gosh, what a talented cast with Wainwright, Becky Ann Baker, Dylan Baker. How did you get all these tremendously talented people on board?
We were really, really lucky.
That helps.
we double cast Art and Nan. So 36 years passed. So we have one set of actors playing them at their arrival on the island.
And that couple's married in
real
life.
So Chris Henry Coffey and Jennifer Mudge are both working Broadway actors with a number of film and television credits. So we always were keeping in mind this double casting idea. So whenever looking at one actor, we had to think of who could be their younger counterpart. And really, like, the essence of the character was much more important than any sort of physical likeness. Mm. But we also wanted, ideally, for there to be some similarities in the appearance, so that when we have this moment where essentially 30 years pass and then you see the new couple, it's believable and it's not confusing in any way. And we also, of course, utilized hair and makeup and costumes to help with all those sort of transitions as well. But yeah, when we basically had John and I had hundreds of texts back and forth, I would say, you know, sending pictures back and forth, headshots of actors we had in mind. We basically set a dream cast from the beginning. And we pretty much got that dream cast entirely. John had a connection to Loudon, and we just sent him the screenplay, and he wrote back pretty much immediately that he was on board to do it. And then with Becky and Dylan, they also have a connection to Maine. Their daughter went to college at Atlantic.
Oh, nice.
And I'm also just a huge fan of their work. So we always had Dylan Baker as playing Dr. Julian Kufler, who's a real working doctor on MDI, and he was an important part of our research. I think it was pretty fun for him to have Dylan Baker portray him on screen. And so, yeah, Dylan and Becky are, of course, married in real life. So Becky was our top choice for Nan. And I think I knew that, sort of spiritually speaking, she understood the coast of Maine and she understood what Nan went through. And she also was just really trusting of me being a first-time narrative director. They all were. They were all so supportive of me and really willing to put in the time in advance of our shoot to dive into the material with us, you know, reading Peter's book, reading a number of the letters, and talking at length about what it must have been like for Art and Nan, and also, you know, the toll that it took on them, that isolation. And then Chris and Jenny, a real-life married couple as well, so we knew that they would come in on day one with this incredible chemistry, which was really important for us because, you know, the first thing we shot essentially was them arriving on the island, which was a moment of extraordinary excitement and wonder and love. And if it was just two actors meeting for the first day, it might be kind of, I mean, I've been so blown away by actors throughout my entire life, and I don't understand how they do what they do. Honestly, it's incredible. So I'm sure they would have been fine if they hadn't known each other also. Chris and Jenny are immensely talented, but it certainly didn't hurt that they are in love in real life, and they were able to really capture that.
I have to think it helped because, I mean, it's a short film. It's 23 minutes, and yet you feel like you know these characters, both sets, the young and the older Kellums. You know them so well, and a lot of that is done even without dialogue, just in the looks that they give each other, and yeah, talented actors can do that, but there's a subtext. There's something there that I think having that relationship makes it even more believable.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And that was certainly our main goal, was to have our audience, you know, feel invested in the characters. And with a story like this, where the stakes are relatively low compared to most films people are used to seeing, there's no big shootout or big explosion.
Nothing's blowing up.
Yeah. we needed the audience to feel as invested as the island, with the island as they were, so that at the end, when they're faced with this decision of whether or not to leave or to stay, that has to feel like a worthy climactic moment of the film. And as a result, we tried to create a really immersive experience. The sound design was really important for that, you know, of trying to capture what it felt like to be alone on this island. And also, yeah, the actors, you know, all really understood what we were trying to dig into, which was essentially always only about their marriage.
Also, too, and so many local connections. Did I read that the grandson of one of the fishermen is playing his grandfather? Is that right?
Yeah. So Cliff Rich is a legendary boat builder on MDI, and he was a dear friend of Art and Nan Kellums, probably their closest friend. He built the dory for them. He brought them out to the island on that first day. And so we knew that, you know, the film is centered on Art and Nan, but we did want a couple of characters to basically represent the outside world, and also to be a lifeline for them in their moment of need. And so naturally, Cliff Rich was a character that we knew we wanted to include in the film. His name comes up over and over again in their letters and in the book. And there was really only one person we felt could play Cliff Rich, and that's his grandson, Chummy Rich, who was also a legendary boat builder. And it was pretty incredible working with Chummy as well. And then we cast for Chummy's stern man, we cast Jason Hodgson, Crazy Jake, as a comedian, and he's also an MDI local and a great actor. And so we had the two of them work together for a while. We built a great chemistry between them, and their rapport was awesome. And yeah, Chummy, you know, was a first-time actor, but he was all about it. He was incredibly committed to the role and, you know, excited about honoring his grandfather in this way. We worked on his costumes off of photographs of Cliff and really did our best to have Chummy, you know, embody his grandfather for the scenes that he's in.
And you were saying before we came on the air, so much support from the people on the island, including our friend Mary Lee, who did the costumes, but so many people who helped out to make this a reality for you.
Yeah, it was I don't really hesitate in using the word miracle in describing what happened last June. I'll put it this way. We had about a 35-person crew, and I think our craft services budget was $200. and that was due in large part to my girlfriend, Brittany Parker, who was able to pull all that together. But that was, you know, through donations from about 20 restaurants on MDI. We had housing donated. We had you know, old wooden traps donated. We had lobster boats. We had everything we could possibly need was came forward from the community for this film. And people were excited. You know, it was fun having the actors there. Dylan was hanging out a lot at Joey's bar in Southwest Harbor every night. And, you know, they all just became a part of the community for that week. And everyone made a lot of great connections. And yeah, I'm so grateful for the way that so many people came forward. We have, like, I've had credits for my film that are one name before. There's 196 names in our credits for this film.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because my wife and I were watching them going, oh, we know that. Oh, yeah, we know them. Oh, it's great. Now, this weekend, it'll be showing at the Criterion in Bar Harbor. That's on Saturday. Sunday at the Strand down in Rockland. You mentioned in the Sunday Telegram article that you've shot a lot of film that maybe down the road this could be turned into a feature-length film. But this stands alone as is. This is not, as you pointed out earlier, it's not a trailer for another film.
Yeah, absolutely. It was always important to me that this film that we just spent 4 years of our time working on was a standalone film. This short film, you know, is basically saying what we wanted to say about Art and Ann Kellum and their marriage. And John and I realized after years of talking about it and agonizing over it that essentially, you know, we think that we could capture their story and their experience in a short film. However, we did write a feature film outline a couple of years ago, and we have essentially shot acts 1, 3, and 5 of that outline, knowing that, you know, with them arriving on the island and some critical moments in the middle of their experience, and then also with the end of their time on the island, the end of Art's time on the island, we were able to, you know, capture that part of their story. We do, however, know what we would want to shoot if we go back and shoot, say, in the winter sometime. And that's something that we're considering and talking about down the line. But as for right now, you know, we're really excited to share this finished product with our community and anyone else that wants to come see it. You know, we spent a lot of time on this and we care deeply about it. And we think that, you know, people will respond to Art and Ann's story the way that they have for really decades now. You know, there've been articles and books and the letters exist, and people just have always gravitated towards this couple, despite the fact that they were, you know, alone for a lot of their last half of their life. But we hopefully are providing like a window into their world, and we think that people will really connect with them.
Well, yeah, the hook is obviously that we all have that little place in us that thinks, Carrie, maybe more than most, that would be great to get to an island and get away from people. But what gets you deeply invested is, as you said, how they did it, the relationship that they form, and how that provides them with the strength to get through some pretty tough times there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, as me coming from documentary, it was a little bit against my nature to move away from meticulous details. Like, you know, when I was first thinking about this film, it was a lot of showing how they actually literally did this, you know, like showing them making breakfast over the fire and things like that, or, you know, stoking the fireplace all night long, every hour. And then, you know, with the way that the film unfolded, it ultimately became about a lot more than that. And it took, even like on set, when we were falling behind schedule and things of that nature, we all sort of sense, you know, we can let that scene of Art chopping wood go because it's more important to film this scene of them sitting and reading together, because that is moving the story forward.
Which is a
forward.
Beautiful scene, by the way. I love that.
Yeah, we really cut it loose, I think, the last day or so, and just filmed a lot of what we call daily life moments, and a lot of those made their way into the film. We had a huge list of potential scenes if we had time, or we had a few minutes here and there, let's go out and pick this off. And a lot of those sort of moments came forward. And really, that's a testament to the actors for being ready at a given moment's notice to step into Art and Ann's shoes, you know, walking through the meadow together or whatever the little moment I was sort of feeding them. You know, I would give them sparklers and say, it's 4th of July. You guys are celebrating. You are your entire world, you know, and let's have a 4th of July party, you know, that sort of a thing. And letting them play in that was awesome and yielded a lot of great footage. Also a testament to our crew. Dean Merrill was our director of photography. He's an absolutely incredible cinematographer from Portland. And so whenever I was able to throw something at Dean, you know, Dean and I worked together for months on our storyboard and shot list. And ultimately, a lot of that had to go out the window when we were on set, as tends to happen, I guess, I've learned. Having all that preparation was definitely valuable. But then we fell behind schedule and we had to really sort of, you know, be in the moment and try to maximize our time on set together. And when we really, I think, loosened up after the first day or so, that's where most of the film came from.
Is that maybe the biggest part of the learning curve for you? You were saying that before we came on, it was a documentarian. You're kind of working solo in many respects, but now not only are you the filmmaker, but you're managing a whole lot of people and time.
Yeah, it was incredibly stressful. I was so nervous leading up to the shoot that it was hard to even really think about the shoot. You know, I was more concerned about beds and porta potties right. and things like that in the couple of days leading up to the shoot. And then everyone around me just did an incredible job once we were on set of sheltering me from all of those sort of concerns. You know, our producers and our friends and our family were sort of there to take most of those sort of questions off my plate and allow me to really, for those 6 days, just be completely invested in the story and working with the actors and working with Dean and John and making sure that we were, you know, all in line towards the common goal of telling the best story we could.
And have you got any other showings planned for later in the summer?
Yeah, we're starting to line up a bunch of screenings for August and September. We since that article came out the other day, we've had a lot of inquiries coming in from museums and various theaters throughout the state. We do have screenings lined up on MDI in early August. And if people follow our Facebook page, We Were an Island Short Film, we'll be continually posting and updating links to upcoming screenings. And yeah, but for right now, we're really excited for this weekend. And Saturday night in Bar Harbor is going to be the culmination of many years of hard work and should be a party.
Fantastic. Well, it's a wonderful film. I was so happy to get to see it ahead of time and so great to have you come in and talk about it with us today. Have fun this weekend. You've earned it.
Hey, I'll try. Thanks, Rich.
Peter Logue, the film is called We Were an Island, Saturday down in Bar Harbor at the Criterion, Sunday at the Strand in Rockland. And again, go to their Facebook page for more information about future screenings.